Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com. Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
I wanna be your man, girl. So, gotta make you understand, girl.
Yeah. This is called Girls Around the World. Lloyd featuring Lil Wayne. Girls all around the world. Dawood says, oh yeah, the CIA has been trying to overthrow Mugabe for a long time, said. He said, them white folks' footprint is all up and down Africa. I'm going to break out my movie, Black Hawk Down, and watch it. Trent from Asbury Park, New Jersey. Where is the CIA in all of this? They have been undermining governments for years. 200% inflation? Well, that's 200,000% actually, Trent. How is that possible with the hidden hand of them? The question is, what can we do about it? Let me read you an article, show you that something is in the works. I do not expect President Mugabe to make it through the next 6 months as president. Here's an op-ed written by Brett Stevens of the Wall Street Journal. The Bush Doctrine is relevant again. This was written on Tuesday. Yesterday. Here's a prediction. Zimbabwe's Morgan Tsvangirai, you know, I don't know how to say his name. Morgan Tsvangirai will win this year's Nobel Peace Prize. He would be its worthiest recipient since the prize went to Burma's Aung San Suu Kyi, one of the prize's few worthy recipients, period, in 1991. He deserves it for standing up politically as well as physically to Robert Mugabe's goon squad dictatorship for over a decade, for organizing a democratic opposition and winning an election hugely stacked against him, and for refusing to put his ambition ahead of his people's well-being. When the runoff poll came, as he put it last weekend, a violent, illegitimate sham. Here's another prediction. Mr. Tsvangirai, his Nobel Prize, will have about as much effect on the bloody course of Zimbabwe's politics as Aung San Suu Kyi's has had on Burma's, effectively zero. Zimbabwe is now another spot on the map of the civilized world's troubled conscience. Burma is also there, along with Tibet and Darfur. Question: when will Free Zimbabwe bumper stickers become ubiquitous? These are uniquely nasty places, and not just because uniquely nasty things are happening. They're nasty because the dissonance between the wider world's professed concern and what it actually does is almost intolerable. Look at the legislation that has been proposed or passed in the U.S. Congress on Darfur. There is the Darfur Peace and Accountability Act, H.R. 3127, signed by President Bush into law in 2006, which sanctions officials identified as responsible for the genocide. There is House Resolution 992, which urges the president to appoint a special envoy to Sudan. The president did appoint an envoy. Care to remember his name? There is the 2007 Sudan Accountability and Divestment Act, which allows but does not require U.S. states and municipalities to divest from companies doing business in Sudan. There is Senate Resolution 559, urging the president to enforce a no-fly zone over Darfur. There is the Clinton Amendment, the Reid Amendment, the Menendez Amendment, the Durbin-Leahy Amendment, the Jackson Amendment, the Lieberman Resolution, the Obama-Reed Amendment, and the Peace and Darfur Act. This is a partial list. Meantime, here are the accumulating estimates of the conflict's toll on Darfuri lives. September 2004, 50,000, according to the World Health Organization. May of 2005, between 63,000 and 146,000 excess deaths, according to the Center for Research on the Epidemiology of Disasters at Belgium's Catholic University of Louvain. March of 2008, 200,000 deaths, according to UN officials. April 2008, the UN acknowledges the previous month's estimate might have undercounted by about 100,000 victims. In a video clip for the Save Darfur Coalition, Barack Obama offered that the genocide is a stain on our souls. His proposal for removing it, ratcheting up the sanctions on the Sudanese government and making firm commitments in terms of the logistics and the transport and the equipping of an international peacekeeping mission for Darfur. No word, however, as to whether Mr. Obama would actually risk the lives of the American soldiers to stop the slaughter. It's a similar story in Zimbabwe. The UN Security Council met yesterday to discuss the crisis, while British Prime Minister Gordon Brown told Parliament the world is of one view that the status quo cannot continue. But of course, the status quo will continue. Just possibly Mr. Mugabe and his senior ministers will no longer be allowed to travel to Europe, though that does nothing for the people of Zimbabwe. Other sanctions will have no effect. The regime is already busy expelling relief workers and seizing food aid. Mr. Mugabe wants his people to die. It means fewer mouths to feed and fewer potential opposition supporters to jail, maim, or murder. A solution for Zimbabwe's crisis isn't hard to come by. Someone, ideally the British, must remove Mr. Mugabe by force, install Mr. Tsvangirai as president, arm his supporters, prevent any rampages, and leave. Okay, I just got to the point. This is Cedric Muhammad again. I'm reading Brett Stevens' article, The Bush Doctrine is Relevant Again. You feel me? I'm going to read this part again. He laid a groundwork of about 1,000 words before he gets to this. A solution for Zimbabwe's crisis isn't hard to come by. Someone, ideally the British, must remove Mr. Mugabe by force, install Mr. Tsvangirai as president, arm his supporters, prevent any rampages, and leave. Saving Darfur is a somewhat different story, but it also involves applying Western military force to whatever degree is necessary to get Khartoum to come to terms with an independent or autonomous Darfur. International relations theorists, including prominent Obama advisor Susan Rice, justify these sorts of interventions under the rubric of a responsibility to protect, a concept that comes oddly close to Kipling's white man's burden. So close, in fact, that its inherent paternalism has hitherto inhibited many liberals from endorsing the kinds of interventions toward which they are now tiptoeing, thousands of deaths too late. So let's by all means end the hand-wringing and embrace the responsibility to protect wherever necessary and feasible. Let's spare the thousands of innocents, punish the wicked, oppose tyrants, and support Democrats, both in places where it is now fashionable to do so, like Burma, and in places where it is not, Iraq. If that turns out to be Mr. Obama's foreign policy, it will be a worthy one. It does come oddly close to the Bush Doctrine. I'm going to read that last sentence again. Let's spare the thousands of innocents, punish the wicked, oppose tyrants, and support Democrats, both in places where it is now fashionable to do so, Burma, and in places where it is not, Iraq. If that turns out to be Mr. Obama's foreign policy, it will be a worthy one. It does come oddly close to the Bush Doctrine. Remember, I referred to Barack Obama as a fireman. I suggested that ultimately that was the job he was running for. Now, isn't it interesting now how Senator Obama is now being fit into all of these problems around the world? That now it is his responsibility to invade Zimbabwe? That's what Brett Stevens is saying. Senator Obama will be the one to bring the Bush Doctrine to Africa. Oh, man. I hope my brother understands what he's signing up for. I'm still going to send my money to Senator Obama, as I've told you. Any comments? Here's a song called Gifts. Listen closely. This is the great, most improved artist, Ray J.
Shorty got gifts, 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 gifts. Girl, say shorty got gifts.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Climb up to the top and down into a split. Shorty know how to make a body do tricks. Shorty got a name, you're looking real fly. You're looking real cute in your birthday suit. Girl, you know I'm gonna stare, you know I'm gonna shoot. You're my number, call me girlfriend if it's cool. Have drinks for two. Call it a deuce. While I'm trying to get you drunk, I'm getting drunk too. I know the feeling's the same, so I'ma tell you.
I tell you no lie, girl, this song is a
shit. Shorty got gifts, gifts, gifts. Shorty got gifts,
I'm trying to help you parents out. This is the slang. We learned about the business. We learned about Sean from Miami and Tasha in Miami. Now we're learning about gifts. What's he talking about?
Climb up to the top and down into a split. Shout it, know how to make a body do tricks.
Shorty got gifts, gifts.
You know how to lick those lips, lips. You gotta have a moon on them hips, hips. Shake your body round and you dip, dip. I'm pulling on my cell phone, flip, flip. You know I gotta sneak and take a pic, pic. Make a dude wanna spin his chips, chips. I think I fell.
Shane from Houston has responded about the brothers in the lobby who were looking at the backside of the white woman at his job. I think the song relates to that. I am performing a public service by playing these songs, y'all.
Shorty got lips. Shorty got hips in the club. Shorty make a player wanna get dips. She climb up to the top and down into a split. Shorty know how to make a body do tricks.
Shorty got it off in the club. Off in the club. Show us some love. Show us some love. Off in the club.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
But we don't want relationships. No, show me some love now.
Off in the club, off in the club. Show us some love, show us some love. Off in the club, off in the club. Show us some love.
Shayna from H-Town says, even if you don't prefer the white woman, are you disappointed with the brother when she does not have the goods? What Shane is saying, if you don't care about white women, why are you hurt when the brother gets a white woman that's not attractive? Shane's advice to LA's are, the women have not responded to this, by the way. Shane says to the brother with the eight-year-old daughter, that's LA's R from Brooklyn, he recommends no cable or satellite for the next 8 years. He says Nisa Nash on the BET Awards introduced her white children and says they have done wonders for her credit score. Reggie from Chicago says the Western powers are destroying Mugabe's character. However, he needs to adjust. He cannot act like there is nothing wrong in Zimbabwe. I know there are deeper issues, but his administration needs to create solutions. Emil Carr from Brooklyn, the Zimbabwe situation is a perfect example of the disunity of Africa and Africans the world over. We know the rest of the world don't care about Africans, but we have to be honest about our own complicity. The impact of a powerful APAC-like organization is crucial for Africa. The Wall Street Journal article is indicative of the saying that, quote, the press is to a democracy what the military is to a dictatorship, end quote. It's the first line of attack. I agree. That article, calling for Senator Obama to bring the Bush Doctrine to Africa, is part of a larger plan. One day I will talk. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave that alone. There are certain newspapers that do certain things on cue. Okay? That's all I'll say for now. Bernard from Atlanta is helping me. The MDC leader's last name is pronounced Changaray. That's right. Changaray. Changaray, rye like bread. Changaray. Emil Carr from Brooklyn says, Cedric, can you imagine the first act of an Obama regime is the invasion of Zimbabwe. Wow. Another article from the Wall Street Journal. Obama walks a fine line with Muslims. Says here, it is inaccurate to call Barack Obama a Muslim. Is it a slur? The Obama campaign suggests it is. A new campaign website designed to air and rebut potentially damaging internet rumors spread in one part, or reads in one part. Smear, Barack Obama is a Muslim. Truth, Senator Obama has never been a Muslim, was not raised as a Muslim, and is a committed Christian. The characterization highlights a tricky balance the campaign is trying to strike to tamp down false rumors intended by some to link the Democratic presidential candidate to radical Islam without offending Muslims and harming his image of inclusiveness. Muslim Americans have made up one of Senator Obama's most loyal bases of support since he announced his candidacy last year. But lately, some Muslims concentrated in several battleground states say they are having second thoughts over his campaign's ardent defense of his religious background. Quote, if he were a Muslim, so what? That insinuates that if he were a Muslim, he's automatically a jihadist. That's incredibly insulting to people of the Muslim faith and Arabs who are Christian, says Tony Kutaili, a spokesman for the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee and a Christian. The issue flared up at a rally in Detroit last Monday when two Muslim women in hijab, or traditional clothing, were asked to move when they sat behind the podium, where their headscarves would have appeared in photographs and on television with the candidate. The campaign apologized to the women and noted that they were asked to move by volunteers, not campaign staffers. Quote, this is of course not the policy of the campaign. It is offensive and counter to Obama's commitment to bring Americans together, said spokesman Bill Burton. As for the Fight the Smears website, Obama spokesman Tommy Vitor says it was or has been designed to dispel any and all misinformation, and the Muslim rumor is misinformation. The smear, he wrote in an email, is that, quote, most of these attacks allege that he is a radical Muslim who attended a madrasa, end quote. The handling of Islam in American politics, particularly since the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks, has become a delicate issue. Politicians from President Bush on down have wrestled with how to attack radical Islam without seeming anti-Islam. Senator Obama, who says he has always been a Christian, has been grappling with the accusations for more than a year when internet rumors began to emerge that he was educated in a radical madrasa in Indonesia and that he took the oath of office with his hand on the Quran instead of the Bible. Quote, the Muslims have said they plan on destroying the U.S. from the inside out. What better way than to start at the highest level through the president of the United States, one of their own, reads one email chain evoking the communist plot to take over the presidency in the 1962 movie, The Manchurian Candidate. Are you all listening to this? Do you all see how they are manipulating Senator Obama in very indirect ways? This is why I constantly quote Psalms 94:20, which says, can the righteous have fellowship with the seed of iniquity, which frameth mischief in a law? Can the righteous have fellowship with the throne of iniquity, which frameth mischief by a law? Read Psalms 94:20. What they're working on is not just Senator Obama. They're working on the throne. They're keeping him away certain things, moving him toward others. So why don't we do the same as my position, which Amilcar brilliantly brings up the AIPAC-like organization. A Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life poll conducted in March shows the rumors have only stuck with a small portion of mostly conservative, non-college educated voters. 79% of respondents say they had heard the rumor that Senator Obama is a Muslim, but only 1 in 10 said they believe it. A separate poll from the Pew Forum last September showed the liability of that perception. In the survey, 45% of respondents said they would have reservations about voting for a presidential candidate who was Muslim, compared with 25% for a Mormon candidate and 11% for a Jewish candidate. John McCain has had his own struggles addressing Islam. In April, the Republican presidential candidate's campaign replaced Ali Jawad, a prominent Arab American businessman, from his Michigan Finance Committee because of an unsubstantiated claim that Mr. Jawad is an agent of Hezbollah. The move cost the Republican support in Dearborn, an area both candidates will fight hard to capture in November. According to the latest census, there are 2.3 million Muslims in the United States. Two-thirds are foreign-born, About 20% of U.S.-born Muslims are African-American. According to the Arab American Institute, there are about 3.5 million Arab Americans living in the U.S. About three-quarters are Christian and a quarter Muslim. Voter turnout among Arab Americans is up to 30% higher than that of the general population, and they are concentrated in Florida, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, states seen as among the most competitive this fall. So far, Senator Obama has enjoyed the support of both Christian and Muslim Arab Americans, who are partly drawn to what they perceive as a more diplomatic approach to the Middle East and his diverse background. Senator Obama's father was a non-practicing Muslim from Kenya, and for a brief period of his childhood, the senator lived in Indonesia, a Muslim country. But recently, some Muslim voters interviewed in swing states say they have noticed the disparity between his outreach to them and to other religions. The Obama campaign has embarked on a national effort to win support from devout Christian voters and make known the candidate's Christian faith. He visited a Boca Raton, Florida synagogue, and he made a pro-Israel group his first stop after claiming enough delegates to secure the nomination earlier this month. Listen to this news report, then I want to get your thoughts on this. We're talking about a lot of issues today. Teenage pregnancy, Zimbabwe. I'm playing for you the hottest new music that you're hearing now or about to hear on radio. I get it first. Some of it is good. Some of it I want to send a message to you parents. Some of it I want to show you young folk how hip I am. And I still got it. By the way, I want to use Usher. Remind me, don't forget. I want to use Usher to make a point about teenage pregnancy in an indirect way. Okay? Usher is the second greatest R&B singer of the last 25 years. We can do a whole show on that. Usher's ranked number two in my book. Listen to this report, though. Oh, hold on. I'm getting my music is still spinning. Hold on. I got three turntables spinning. Okay. This report right here is in relation to what I just read about Obama dealing with the Muslim vote.
Good day, everyone. I'm Contessa Brewer. Glad to have you along. Is Barack Obama snubbing Muslim voters? Last week, two Muslim women wearing headscarves were moved away from the podium. Campaign volunteers reportedly did not want them to appear in photos sitting behind Senator Obama during a campaign rally in Detroit. Senator Obama personally apologized. And now Minnesota's Keith Ellison, the country's first Muslim congressman, is also feeling snubbed. He was set to speak on Senator Obama's behalf at a prominent mosque, but the New York Times reports the Obama campaign asked him to cancel, fearing the trip would cause controversy. Let's bring in Brian DeBose, editorial writer with the Washington Times, and Perry Bacon, political reporter for the Washington Post. What's your take on all of this, Brian? The problems of trying to convince America that Barack Obama really is Christian, and at the same time being inclusive and trying to include people of the Muslim faith?
Well, what you get is overkill. That's what you saw at this recent cancellation with Keith Ellison and with the women with headscarves. And a lot of it is oftentimes, in this case, it's staffers. In the case of Mr. Ellison, I think the campaign manager and some of the top aides thought that, you know, having him out there, they're still trying to work with this notion that he's not a Muslim and explain to people that he's not a Muslim. There was a attack ad on the internet just a few weeks ago talking about when Barack Obama was in Indonesia at a Roman Catholic school, he was signed up as a Muslim. Well, his stepfather at the time was a Muslim, but he was attending a Roman Catholic school. So it's still going to be touch and go as far as the campaign is concerned, and they're going to do everything they can to separate him from anything that looks or sounds or is Muslim or Islamic.
Is there any chance, Perry, of a backlash here?
I think that, I mean, their most important concern is getting out his Christian faith, I think, because more voters are Christian than Muslim in the country. I mean, other than a few, there are a few states where there might be a small backlash, potentially, I guess, Michigan being the most prominent, a lot of Arab Americans who are voters there. I don't really see the sort of backlash politically for him. I don't think it's a terribly large issue. Possibly.
You know, it's not just Muslims here. He's got some Christians all hot and bothered, too. Here's how it started. Let me play it.
Now, I may be opposed to abortion for religious reasons, to take one example, but if I seek to pass a law banning the practice, I can't simply point to the teachings of my church or evoke God's will. I have to explain why abortion violates some principle that is accessible to people of all faiths, including those with no faith at all.
Now, that was from a speech 2 years ago. Now, James Dobson, often the face of the Christian conservative movement, says Barack Obama doesn't know the Bible. Let me play it.
That is a fruitcake interpretation of the Constitution. This is why we have elections, to support what we believe to be wise and moral. We don't have to go to the lowest common denominator of morality, which is what he is suggesting.
Now, here's the thing. We talk about
we
talk about these issues of faith in politics. A Pew poll says more than 25% of those who identify themselves as Christians aren't sure if there's a God. If you can't fully embrace the existence of God, why would you vote on faith issues at the ballot box? Does this even matter come politics time? What do you think, Perry?
I think that people's religious values are a part of their life, and they do care about them, and they do consider them very important. And Senator Obama's talking about that for that reason. I mean, there are Catholics, there are Jewish people, there are Protestant Christians who think faith is important to them, and they care about that. So I think there is some political role to that. I'm not sure what James Dobson's views on Obama's faith will matter, because James Dobson's viewership and listeners tend to be more Republican in general.
Right. And this potentially, I suppose, could help McCain, although James Dobson hasn't fully embraced the presumptive Republican nominee. Brian, what's your take on all of this? Does Barack Obama really have a problem now with people, no matter which religion, if people are truly committed to their faith? Is there some problem here?
Well, I don't think so. I think that when you running against John McCain, no, because John McCain isn't going to talk about faith too often, if at all. At least, with some of these religious groups like Mr. Dobson, he has something to talk about Barack Obama. He has absolutely nothing to talk about with John McCain. That may be actually better for John McCain, because some of these folks are like Mr. Dobson, a little too radical in politics.
Hager, Flager, we've seen all kinds of problems with preachers. Maybe the preachers should just stick to the sermons. All right, Perry, Brian, thank you.
It's time to put that black fist in the air. You know what it is. Father Flager is back, y'all.
Topping our news this morning, Father Michael Flager returns to the pulpit at St. Sabina Church. Flager was suspended for 2 weeks because of controversial comments he made about Hillary Clinton. CBS 2's Pamela Jones is live outside the church right now with more. Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning, Suzanne. Nothing but smiles on the faces of most of the parishioners we met as they headed into St. Sabina this morning. They've been waiting for the day their beloved pastor would return to celebrate Sunday Mass. Father Flager was suspended, as you said, for 2 weeks after parts of a fiery sermon spread over the internet, drawing debate. On Monday, he returned to his duties.
Excuse me. when you hear the name of the Honorable Father Michael Flager uttered, you throw that black fist in the air. Excuse me. Unless you're at work. Put a black fist in the air for Father Flager.
At the parish, he said although he's prohibited from endorsing candidates or campaigning for them, his sense of activism won't change. Father Flager then participated in anti-violence rallies like this one hosted by Ceasefire. Members here at the church say they wanted him to return sooner and fought for that.
I'm just glad for him to be back, and I hope he won't never leave us again.
Oh, I'm glad Father Flager is back.
He's a very bright person, and he just fills your heart.
Parishioners say they want to put the controversy behind them and focus on improving their community. Now, this morning service is already underway. The last time I was here was before the suspension, and at that time, he was urging parishioners to go beyond YouTube. This morning's theme, ain't nothing like a comeback. Reporting live from St. Sabina, Pamela Jones, CBS 2 News.
All right, let me catch up on your posts. I hope nobody has a problem with a black fist in the air for the Honorable Father Michael Flager, who does more work in the hood than a lot of bougie black people do. Those people were so happy. If you could see the faces, you can watch the news report in the news section of Black Coffee Channel. People are just absolutely overjoyed that Father Michael Flager is coming back. And where was he? Immediately at a Stop the Violence rally. And Michael Flager's been doing that for years. All right. A lot of new first-time viewers. Happy to see new names. Again, if any women, any sisters have advice for L.A. Czar, he's got an 8-year-old daughter who's too much into fashion and clothing, and he has tried the strict approach, the strict father approach, and he wants to pump the brakes on that because it may have been driving his little girl to her stepmother. And again, I've put it out there. It's important for fathers to be friends with their daughter, as well as disciplinarians. You got to establish a friendship so that they will open up and talk to you. Anyway, I may do a whole show on that. Daddy'sPromise.com. We're trying to do the knowledge on the Honorable Ed Gordon. Do we want to support Daddy'sPromise.com, this movement to embrace the relationship between daughters and fathers? We got to read the fine print. So we have dispatched L.A. Czar from Brooklyn to do the knowledge on whether we want to support and endorse maybe the Honorable Ed Gordon's new movement. Nimba Mayat PV Kalidosos Tokpa from New York City. If I pronounced it wrong, help me out. Welcome. Nimba Mayat PV Kalidosos Tokpa says, the reason Senator Obama is attacked by the neo-imperialist white folks is that they cannot believe or trying to neglect the uprising of the original people, Africans. Well, we played the interview of the Zimbabwe ambassador to the UN. You heard him answer the charges against Zimbabwe. L.A. Czar thanks Shane for the advice he gave for his 8-year-old daughter. And he says, as for Zimbabwe, Mugabe, as we all know, will abdicate his position by force and violence. How do we protect ourselves by the manipulating of the West world? I mean, I'm suggesting one small step would be to establish a real, authentic, formidable lobby in the diaspora. Now, when I read the article from Brett Stevens of the Wall Street Journal calling for Senator Obama to bring the Bush Doctrine to Africa, that man had knowledge of the most recent laws and resolutions in Congress relating to Sudan, etc., and Zimbabwe. Why don't we? I mean, I've said this before, how in the hell could you have love for Africa, Nubia, Kush, read John Henry Clark, and then not know anything about what's going on the continent today? Your knowledge is romanticism. It can establish some self-esteem in the minds of our young boys and girls, which is good. It can give you a form of the knowledge of self, which is important, but it is totally irrelevant and anemic when it comes to what should our position in the diaspora be regarding Zimbabwe and Africa in general, country by country. Reggie from Chicago says, do you really believe that Obama's campaign team had nothing to do with the removal of the Muslim women from sitting in the photo? Your show is captivating as usual. Peace. The great Rod Ginyar from Culver City, California says the second single most threatening characteristic of a presidential candidate is being Muslim. The first is being a black man. Keeping the Muslim topic from the news, the better for Obama, obviously. The Muslim backlash to all this is minimal. They won't vote for McCain. He calls him McCain. Yes, this is Brother Cedric bringing it to you. This song is called A Call for Unity. Hamza Eldeen, speak to us, brother. 1965.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com. Tana wonu bigu mingirnye da guru sedila liga gonyin naminga ya kutana wonu bigu mingirnye da guru sedila liga gonyin naminga ya minga dunyal basunai urhusana nadi gulti goja minga gasafag
Yesterday, we spoke with U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Zalmay Khalilzad, about the deteriorating security situation in Zimbabwe. Last night, the U.N. Security Council condemned what it calls a campaign of violence that will render free and fair elections impossible. Now, the other side of the story. From Zimbabwe's ambassador to the United Nations, Boniface Chidiasiku, I spoke with him a short time ago. Mr. Ambassador, welcome.
Thank you.
The United Nations, where you sit, has called for Friday's elections in Zimbabwe to be called off. Will they?
No.
Why not?
Well, the United Nations has no mandate to give instructions to member states on when they should hold elections. That is the prerogative of a sovereign state to decide when and when it suits them to do elections.
So how do you conduct a free and fair election without an opposition candidate?
The opposition candidate has been playing to the media. He deliberately saw defeat in the face, and he realized that the only way out was to jump ship and appeal to the international community, who have accepted what his antics, and is now galvanizing international opinion against the government of Zimbabwe. But as far as we are concerned, we need a mandate from the people, because on the 29th of March, that mandate was not given to any of the candidates that aspired to be president of Zimbabwe. And as per our constitution, that requires a runoff. And we have put the systems into place that Friday there will be a runoff, and we are proceeding ahead.
I don't have to tell you what it is that folks in the United Nations and other Southern African nations are saying. They're saying 85 people have been killed, 200 are missing, 30,000 have been displaced in what they call political violence in your country during this runoff election. Who's responsible for that?
The violence in Zimbabwe, from our perspective, there's been intra-party violence. And that violence, the MDC and ZANU-PF have been found to be guilty of some acts of violence. And on the statistics part of it, we have had most incidences of violence perpetrated by the MDC on ZANU-PF supporters than on ZANU-PF against MDC. And furthermore, when I speak to the police general headquarters in Harare, they tell me that 10% of the country has had some incidences of violence, and 90% has not seen that.
So let me just clarify for our viewers. The MDC is Morgan Tsvangirai's opposition party, and the ZANU-PF is Robert Mugabe's party. Morgan Tsvangirai has been detained separate times in the last few weeks. Was that not a political detention?
That's what the international community has been told. But the times that he has been asked by the police to visit a police station, he has been transgressing the laws of the land. For instance, in one case, he was driving in a public road, escorted by vehicles that were disturbing other road users. So the police called him and told him that you don't travel like that in the country, and he called that a detention.
So if you choose not to believe, as you do, Morgan Tsvangirai's version of events, what about what the non-governmental organizations say, who have been trying to provide...
All right. I just want to give you a little taste. That's the Zimbabwe ambassador to the UN. Keep sending your comments in. TransAfrica has put out a very interesting report. We've linked to it in the national, international news section. Read that. Very good report in many respects. Mark M. from Washington says, Cedric, Obama's foreign policy could take on some Bush-like elements if we let him, but an invasion of Africa, no. It would give Asia an even bigger edge in Africa. Racism would prevent white soldiers from being sent to Africa. Covert use of proxy junior partners is more likely. Mm-hmm. Rod Ginyar, Culver City, California says, warning to Barack, pay close attention to the response to McCain's offer of $300 million to whomever creates a better auto battery. This will resonate big. Natasha from Miami says, I am back. Did I miss much? I got called away to put out a quasi fire. I think you missed a lot, Natasha. But you are so sharp, it will take you 1/10 of the time it would take the rest of us to figure out what's been going on. Rod Guignard from Culver City, California, again. He says, the continent of Africa, country by country, is a perfect example of the historical method of its European conquerors. That is, quote, if we can't have it, burn it, kill it, destroy it for anyone else to live in it, end quote. There must be 20 to 25 wars or many wars going on this very moment. Dawood from Dawood City breaks in to ask the question, is Dennis Rodman going the way of OJ? Bernard from Atlanta. I agree that Obama may very well be the mark that will be willingly utilized to give dark skin cover to forcefully make the stubbornly hesitant darker nations get with the program, especially in competition against China for the vital resources on the African continent. I mean, post continues. Let me. Got a slow computer here. I don't know what's up. Oh, okay, Bernard will be continuing that thought. Let me read it again. I agree that Obama may very well be the mark that will be willingly utilized to give dark skin cover to forcefully make the stubbornly hesitant darker nations get with the program, especially in competition against China for the vital resources on the African continent. Now, this gets back to the suggestion earlier that we might see Obama and Colin Powell ticket. If the Bilderberg Trilateral Commission Council on Foreign Relations super clash slash 10% approved of that VP selection of Colin Powell, it would be for that purpose. It would be for the purpose that Bernard just gave. Okay. Okay. Let me get back to more important things. How about this track right here called Cuddle Up? Pretty Ricky featuring Buttercream. Listen up.
Yeah, I love it when you're next to me. Got me numb like butter from your body heat. Spectac got the recipe. I'ma make you moan, girl, with the best of me. You're special, one of a kind. Hit that light switch, you know that ain't mine. When I'm with you, with my phone on mute. QT, girl, it's all about you. Ain't no limit to it all day. I'ma make you feel good in the right way.
Don't change that URL. The hip-hoppreneur, Cedric Muhammad, will be right back.
In my arms, cuddled up. Love so good, got you folded up. Pretty Ricky, the keys are on me. We ain't gonna stop, so cancel your plans. It's spectacular.
Pretty Ricky, aren't they like 15, 13, 14 years old or something? They had a couple hot songs out like around 2005, if I remember. I think I got the group right. Pretty Ricky, I think they're from Florida or something like that. This is the teen. I'm playing you all the new music first. You either are hearing it now or you will hear it in a few days or weeks. And it's called Cuddle Up. Pretty Ricky featuring Buttercream. Okay, but Bernard has continued his thoughts. He says a few parallels. Colin Powell was the mark to speak to make the false case to the world to justify the Iraq war. General Vincent K. Brooks, a black man, was the mark that the media, he was the media spokesman under or during the Iraq invasion. Remember General Vincent K. Brooks, a black man, whatever happened to him? I think he made the cover of Jet Magazine off of that. He was the mark, according to Bernard from the ATL, that the media's he was the media spokesman during the Iraq invasion. He goes on to continue. Bernard says the only effective means to thwart these machinations is to unify to form a powerful lobby here in America and to establish strong ties between that lobby and African nations, following the example of the late, great Dr. Leon Sullivan and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. What do y'all think? Keep riding this topic out. Nimba Matokba says, from New York City, says, I am from Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire. Did I say it right? Cote d'Ivoire? I am from Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire. Welcome, Nimba Matokba, now in New York City. Says, this country has been attacked by France in 2002 because the new president, Laurent Gbagbo, has refused to be a puppet of France by selling the resources of this rich nation, of this rich country, to France corporations. We have stood up and said no to France's imperialism. I'm trying to say it in French. That's, just bear with me. I don't want to say English. I am from Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire. Cote d'Ivory. This country has been attacked by France in 2002 because the new president, Laurent Gbagbo, has refused to be a puppet of France by selling the resources of the rich country to French corporations. We have stood up and said no to France's imperialism. Do you all know about this? Thank you, Nimba. We have someone from the continent now in New York City who's given us some insight into the situation. But again, what do we do? I had an anecdote. I forgot it. I'm very tired. I forgot what I was going to say, but I was going to make a hell of a point about why it's knowledge. I think I mentioned something in the Science of Business e-letter this month, CM Cap. Try it out. June edition coming out. I'll give you some of the headlines. I talk about the difference between information and knowledge, and that kind of knowledge that activates movement. Rod Guignard from Culver City, California says, some advice to the brother with the 8-year-old daughter. Find a needy girl and ask your daughter to promise to share some of her material wealth with this girl, with the caveat that they discuss it as a life lesson. Then maybe his daughter would be worthy of something new. That's some good advice, Eleazar. Rod is suggesting a relationship with another young girl on the principle of charity. So perhaps the love of fashion and clothing that your daughter may have inordinately now can be channeled into the principle of charity by providing some of that material wealth to another girl. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Rod Guignard from Culver City, California, never ceases to amaze. Anyone want to call in today? Let me hit you with some more of the hottest new music. I want to keep you parents on your toes. This one is called Out Here Grinding. Out Here Grinding by DJ Khaled, featuring Akon, Rick Ross, Plies, Trick Daddy, Lil Boozy, Ace, and Lil Wayne. Now, this song can be up to no good with cats like that on it. Let's see.
DJ Khaled, we the best season as return.
Cause I'm out here grinding.
I do this for the streets, the runners.
Cause I'm out here grinding.
Uh-oh, I'm feeling this.
When you're dealing with G's, now she deal with the realest, shopping like it's still December. Diplomat on the fender, the phantom, I'm the winner. I do it for the hood, I do it cause you can't. Your circles wish you could, Ricky Ross in the bank.
Hey fans, heard you bragging my name up. Know you want me fast, think I give a bad indictment now, my price go up. Came in the world thugging, leaving with big nuts. Yeah, I run with killers, homie, so what? What you want me to say, I sold it in dust.
I don't
don't know. I'm feeling inspired by this song, Out Here Grinding. Again, this is DJ Khaled featuring Akon, Rick Ross, Plies, Trick Daddy, Lil Boozy, Ace, and Lil Wayne. Let's go. This might be the new joint. Out Here Grinding. Is anyone feeling this? Huh? Oh, let me stop the music. Krzysiek Nadinski, We Go Way Back, from Warsaw, Poland, has checked in. I don't think I'm saying it right. He says it means Chris in English. Krzysiek Nadinski from Warsaw, Poland. Welcome, Chris. Says, hello, Cedric. It is very good to hear you live at last. I finally managed to tune in during your show. I closely follow your comments on Obama. Very stimulating indeed. Believe it or not, you are listened to in Poland. Kind regards, Krzysiek. Chris in English. Krzysiek Nadinski from Warsaw, Poland, checking us out. When I was a little boy, I lived in Germany. And I, doing a pen pal program, I wrote a little anonymous letter to whoever would receive the balloon that it was attached to. So we let the balloons go up with my little letter. And I got a letter from someone in Warsaw, Poland. This was years ago. Chris, from Warsaw, Poland, were you my long-lost pen pal, perhaps? Getting reacquainted. This was in 1984, I sent this letter out. I wrote the person back and never heard from them again. That's what you call
ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
This is Jennifer Hudson. I'm going to fall back, read some more of your post. This song is called Spotlight. Jennifer Hudson on the Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program.
Are you a man who loves and cherishes and cares for me? Is that you? Is that you? Is that you? Are you a guard in a prison, maximum security? Is that you? Is that you? Is that you? Do we stay home?
In the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.